Hopefully this class just becomes theoretical. And by the time the Tisha B'Av comes, it'll be canceled. And then we don't have to worry. There was one rabbi that every year after Tisha B'Av, he would take his Tisha B'Av book and put it in Geniza. He would buy a new book every year. The guy in the bookstore told him, how come you buy a book every year? He says, because I don't believe there's going to be another year, so I always throw away the book after. But then there's another year. So that's why every year he buys a new book, exactly. So there's a special haftarot that we read during these weeks. There's three special haftarot that we read during the Ben HaMetzarim. Those are called the Shlosha de Pur'anuta, the three haftarot of troubles. Each one is another prophecy that talks about the dire prophecies that the Navi made, either Yeshaya or Yirmiyah. And we read already two out of the three. If you remember the first week, which this year we read in Parashat Pinchas, the first haftarah was the prophecy Shem'u Devar Hashem. Oh, it's in the back of this book. And what does it say in that prophecy? It says in the prophecy over there. So that's the first one. And then we have, actually the first one is the Divrei Yirmiyahu Ben Hilkiyahu. And in that chapter it said over there, the prophet Yirmiyahu had a nevuah. And God tells him, what do you see? Ma ata ro'e Yirmiyahu. He had a vision. He tells him, what do you see, Yirmiyahu? Va'omar makel shaked ani ro'e. He says, I see a makel. Makel is a stick. Shaked is an almond stick. A stick with almonds. That's what he saw in the nevuah. Va'yomer Hashem elai etavta lir'ot. He says, you're so good. You're so good. Ki shaked ani adevarai la'asot. La'asoto. Then he tells him, what else is this? Ima ataro e. The Omar sid nafuah. I see a pot that's bubbling. The pot is bubbling over. Ufanav epene safona. And I see the northern side is bubbling from that side, from the northern side, epene safona. Vayomer Hashem Elai, so God tells Yirmiyahu, Misafon tepatach ara'a. That's right, the trouble is going to come from the north. Babylonia is going to come from the north, and they're going to attack. So he tells him, he saw these two things over here. He saw the sinyan of Makel Shaked, and he also sees this thing over here of Sin Nafuah. What are these two prophecies? What are these two inyanim that he saw? He saw a stick of Amin Makel Shaked. And then he sees this Sin Nafuah, and it comes from the Safon. Obviously, there has to be some depth in these prophecies. But in order to understand this subject, we need to go to the Gemara. The Gemara actually is in Yoma. Yoma on Daf Tet. This is a famous Gemara, but it's integral to know it well, because this is the Gemara that talks about the destruction. The Gemara over here says, when Mikdash Rishon, what was the sin of Mikdash Rishon? The Gemara says that the three cardinal sins. גילוי עריות, שפיכות דמים מן עבודה זרה. Those are the three majors. So that's why the pasuk says, "Lefichach hevi'a alem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gimel gezerot." So God brought upon them three decrees because of the three sins that they had. What were the three decrees? Shneimar lachem biglalchem Sion sadet teherash. That Zion was plowed, Sion was plowed. וירושלים עיין תהיה. מה זה ירושלים עיין תהיה? Because it became fallow. והר הבית לבמות יער. And הר הבית became like a forest. Nothing, empty. So the Gemara says, and in the second temple we know the sin was sinat hinam. So the Gemara asks, what, there was no Sinat Hanam in the first temple? There was in the first temple also Sinat Hanam. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk that they were fighting with each other. They ate and drank with each other, but they were stabbing each other, lancing each other with their tongues. So there was Sinat Hanam in the first Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara says, no, Ahu b'nisiyei Yisrael. In the first Beit HaMikdash, it was only the leaders. And then, you know what happens? It trickles down. It starts from the leaders. When the leaders were not careful in Sinat Hinnam, eventually they became the role models for the future generations. And then the future generations also then became corrupted in Sinat Hinnam. So it was, it flowed down. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar da Amri, תרבאיו ראשונים, נבוסד, ראשונים שנתגלה עוונם, נתגלה קיצם. The first generation, the first temple, where they knew the sins, נתגלה עוונם. They knew what the sins were. גילו עריות, שפיכות דמים, עבודה זרה, נתגלה קיצם. So the galut was 70 years, it was specific. אחרונים שלא נתגלה עוונם. But in the last generation, in the second temple, לא נתגלה עוונם. Their avon was not revealed. That Jesus, because they used to make avirot basete, they used to make sins privately. לא נתגלה קיצם, מידה כנגד מידה. In the first generation of the first Beit HaMikdash, they did sins publicly. So therefore, they did sins in public, so the end was publicized, 70 years. However, in the second Beit HaMikdash, says לא נתגלה עוונם. They did the sins Beseder. God says, you're not going to publicize, you're still doing it Beseder, you think you're going to get away? I'm not going to publicize when the end is. That's what it doesn't say in the prophecy when the second exile was going to end. The first prophecy, it says right away, 70 years. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The first generation, Nitgale Avonam, they did the Avirot in public. The second, they did it in private, Beseder, which is a problem. In public, they were making themselves as they were
public
religious.
Is worse, no?
No, but they were making them, they were two-faced.
Oh, they made like Sadiqim.
Right? They're making themselves like Sadiqim in public. And Beseder, they're sketching around. Somebody else said, fine, you want to make Avodah Beseder and give a false impression? I'm also going to keep the exile secret. How long it's going to last? Beseder. That's the way that she learns. I'm asking a simple question. So the second temple was Sinat Hinnam. Okay, I got it, Sinat Hinnam. With all due respect. What's the avon of Sinat Hinnam? I know everybody goes crazy. Sinat Hinnam! What's the avon?
Tasteless.
I mean, what's worse, eating chametz on Pesach or Sinat Hinnam? Oh, Sinat Hinnam is worse. You have your own Torah now. Eating chametz on Pesach is Isur Karet. Mechalel Shabbat is Isur Sekila. What's the avor of Lotus Night? It's a love. Okay, it's a love. It's a love. It's a serious love. Ve'avta l'racha kamocha. It's a mitzvah taseh. It's a positive commandment. Brit Milah is more than Haftarah Chachamim. Brit Milah is a positive commandment by Isur Karet. So you always, you went to class your whole life. Oh, it's not this, not that. Sinat Einam, everybody's screaming. What's Sinat Einam? Okay. They made a sin. I'm not saying it's proper to have Sinat Einam. They made a sin. They weren't cordial to the next guy. Sinat Einam, fine. Sinat Einam. Tamidei Chachamim, but it's Yisur Lav. But you know what it's like saying? You know why the Second Temple was destroyed? Sharpness. They were sharpness. Okay, for that. Sharpness. It's a lot to say, okay? You were sharpness. For that, you can destroy the temple? You want to tell me, you know why we destroyed the Second Temple? They ate Hametz on Pesach. Oh, that's a serious item. Get it? You want to tell me they stopped doing Brit Milah? Okay, so cut it. They were going with ladies nida. Ladies were not going to mikveh anymore, and they were going with their wives nida. You want to tell me? Okay, fine. You want to even tell me they ate nevelot utrefot? Because according to some people, eating nevelot utrefot is yarek val yavor. I could hear it. But you tell me what? They transgressed. By the way, it's not a question. If I have sinat chinam, do I get malkut for this? There's not even malkut on this. There's no malkut on this. The two witnesses come to Beit Din. We saw Rabbi Mansour has sinat chinam. He's not being nice. What should we do to the guy? Do we want to give him malkut? There's no malkut on this. On the contrary, they give the guy malkut for speaking lashon hara about me. You get the malkut, because what are you speaking lashon about the rabbi for? That's a simple question that you have to. It was asked because what's this sinat? But again, we never ask that question. We always get to the next one. That's the worst. And I'm asking you from the beginning, why is it the worst? Again, I'm not pro sinat hinam, rabotai. Don't come out of the claim that Rabbi Mentor says sinat hinam is nothing. It's okay to make sinat. The main thing is don't go over the nida. I'm not saying that. I'm just asking, why should that be the first bit of Mikdash? I understand Gilui Arayot, Avodah Zarah, Shifichut Damin. Those are the majors. Those are the three major items. You have to give your life for those items over there. If you worship Avodah Zarah, there's a death penalty. If you do Gilui Arayot, there's a death penalty. Shifichut Damin, there's a death penalty. No problem. And by the way, they're all in the Ten Commandments. Finished. The Ten Commandments, over.
Maybe they were doing that and that.
Oh, now you're coming along giving answers. Okay, now you're thinking.
That's why I don't like him. See?
Because he gives his own opinion? No, but at least he's thinking, Beno. Now already we got him concerned.
And I'm by Jean Lomé.
60 years, it didn't bother him, this question. Now already he's percolating a little.
It's got to be something
no problem. Else. No, I came to ask a question, not give an answer. Okay, the question is like this. So that's a strong question. And by the way, the Gemara Nedarim writes, these are all famous Gemariot. But I'm going back to them. To try to understand them better. The Gemara says that during the Second Temple, or during the First Temple, the prophets came along and they didn't know what the reason for the destruction was. They asked the Hachamim. Hachamim didn't know. They asked all the, the Nevi'im. Nobody could really figure out what the reason of the destruction was. So the Gemara says, till God says, Al Uzbam et Torati. You know what the reason of the destruction was? Uzbam et Torati. They left the Torah. Left the Torah. What does it mean, left the Torah? If they left the Torah, means they weren't studying Torah, then why didn't the rabbis see it? No, the rabbis were looking. What's the cause? They couldn't say, we don't know the cause. So the God has to say, you know what the cause is? Uzbam et Torati. Because they weren't learning. So they should have figured that out if they weren't learning. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean they weren't learning. Shelo birchu b'Torah techila. They did not make the blessing on the Torah. That's what it is. Also, it was a minor item. Now, I wouldn't know if you people make the blessing on the Torah every morning. I see you come to class every morning. Do I know if you make the Torah? How do I know if you make Birkot HaShachar? That you make in your car. That you make in the house. So the rabbi said, no, it's not Birkumat Ulal Tahila. And everybody asked the same question. So what do you mean? What do you mean? That was the sin of the first. I thought the first temple was the three major sins. I thought the major sin was the three avonot. Now they're coming to tell me, no, it wasn't the three avonot, it was they didn't make the beracha and the Torah. That's a big difference. Abotai, that's a big difference. You know what the answer is? Of course the rabbis saw the three major sins. They knew that. They weren't asking that. They knew the three major sins. The rabbis always ask for the root. Doctor comes and he sees the guy sick. So one doctor tells him, okay, take this medicine, take this item, take this thing. But a better doctor says, hold it.
Cause.
What's the cause of this? I can give you this medicine, but if we don't get to the root of it, it's only going to come back. It's going to be a chronic item. The good doctor always says, the mekor. If we can hit this at the root, we'll knock it out. So the rabbis came along and they said, we see the three sins. We see them. The nation is falling apart. The nation is crumbling. But why are they crumbling? How did we get to this? And they said, and they're learning. So it doesn't make sense. If they're learning, the learning should protect them from these avirot. So God says, you see a very strange prognosis here. You see people learning Torah and murdering. How can it be? You see people learning Torah and committing immorality. You see people learning Torah doing Avodah Zarah. This we never saw before. This type of patient we never saw before. So the rabbis will say, how can it be? What's going on over here? What is this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? This is a schizophrenia. How can it be you could be learning and then... So Borei Olam said, I'll tell you the thing. Shelo birchu b'Torah te'ala. They learned. Of course they learned. But they didn't make the Berachat HaTorah. What's the pshat they didn't make the Berachat HaTorah? I'm going to tell you the depth. So again, you don't make a Beracha. The reason for the destruction is Lo Berchu B'Torah Te'ila, which means, this is the key to understand the whole sugya, which means, what is the purpose of learning? More than that. Of course, you cannot practice until you learn. That's clear. The word Torah, what does it mean, the word Torah? Torah means instruction. Torah is a guide. It's a guide. It's an instruction manual of life.
Blueprint.
A blueprint, but it's a guide. It's a moreh. Moreh is a teacher. The job of Torah is to guide a person in order to refine him. A human being by nature is an animal. If you have an animal, you have to put reins on the animal. Unless you put reins on the animal to control him, he only becomes more wild. The Torah becomes the reins that control the person, and then the Torah is supposed to eventually refine the character of a person. That's the purpose of Torah. By the Goyim, it says, Chokhmah baguim ta'amin. Torah baguim al ta'amin. If somebody tells you, the guim have chokhmah, they have wisdom, tell me, I believe you, it's true. But if they tell you they have Torah, don't believe them. Of course not. Why would I think the guim have Torah? I know the guim don't have Torah. Which means like this, the chokhmah of the guim doesn't change them. That's what it means. If you think that their philosophy is like Torah, that it changes them, al ta'amin. The chokhmah remains in the brain. It has no bearing on the person. They'll give you philosophy and ethics and this way and that way, but it's got nothing to do, it doesn't become part of their way. So chokhmah they have, but the chokhmah is not Torah. It doesn't have the same function of Torah. The function of Torah is to change the person. Understand? They say, Aristotle used to give the biggest dirashot on philosophy and ethics. And then when he left, they see him with who knows what he's doing. They tell him, Hakam, what are you doing over here? He says, the class is over. No, the bell rang. He says, now I'm not Aristotle. I'm Aristotle in the class. Once I leave, now I do whatever I want. So all the chokhmah is, it's nice, sounds nice. But there's a big separation between the philosophy and the behavior. There's a disconnect. That's an important point. Torah has to change a person to make him better. There was a rabbi called Rav Meir Shapiro. He said, if you look in the Mishnayot, the Pirkei Avot, every one of the ethics of Pirkei Avot has a name behind it. It says the rabbi's name. If you look at the ethics of the Goyim, they're all nameless. They're just ethos without any names. You know, just proverbs. So he says, why? He says, because when the Goyim make up proverbs, they can't tell you the guy's name because the guy himself was a behemah. So therefore they just tell you what he said, but they can't tell you the name. But by us, they can tell you what he said and who said it, because the guy who said it can back it up. So therefore there's a, like it says in Pirkei Avot, Baruch Shebahar Behem Ubimishnatam. Behem Ubimishnatam. Not only Baruch Shebahar Bimishnatam. Not only bless us that we're lucky that we have what they said, but Baruch Shebahar Behem. Blessed that we have the ones who said it. Behem. Behem Ubimishnatam. There's a big difference. Behem Ubimishnatam. Hu Haya Omer. Hu Haya. And then Omer. First he was. Hu Haya. And then, Omer. That means they practice what they preach, these rabbis. Which is Torah changed them. Torah is supposed to make a person more etiquette, more refined, more... Now how does that happen? When you study Torah Lishma. When you study Torah Lishem Shamayim, when you study Torah in the proper way, it's supposed to make a person elevated. Now by the way, if you see people that are learning Torah and they're still unrefined, and uncouth, and they're acting in an improper way, they're not learning the right Torah. They're not doing it the right dosage. They don't have the right recipe. They don't have the right approach.
They take it as a philosophy.
They're learning it like chokhmah. They're not learning it like Torah. There is the purpose of studying Torah. Eventually, it has to make the person a ben adam, a human being, a proper guy. Derech eretz, bekavod. So the rabbis over here, in the times of the first temple, they came along and said, they're learning Torah. How could learning Torah bring people that are murdering each other? How could learning Torah bring idolatry? How could learning Torah bring immorality? Immorality means a guy goes with Eshet Ish. It's a terrible avodah. He's learning. He's walking with the Gemara under his arm. So Gemara, Sanhedrin, what are you learning? Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was alive today. They'd kill you 50 times. What are you learning, Sanhedrin? But they couldn't understand where's the disconnect over here. So Borei Olam answered, Alozbam et Torati shelo berchu batorah techila. What does it mean? In the Birkat Torah we say, Asher b'harbanu mikol ha'amim. B'harbanu means God chose us. But besides the word b'han meaning chose us, the same word means, if I would say, if I have three pieces of meat on the table, I say this is the choice piece of meat. The choice is, it's nivhar. Nivhar means
chosen.
Not that it's chosen. I'm not choosing this over. It's choice. And so when I say choice, choice means it's the highest level. In the nations of the world, Am Yisrael is not only Bahar Banu, but Am Yisrael is Aman Nivhar. Nivhar means the choice, which means when you're looking at product. When you're looking at a product, you say, this is Nivhar, or this is Hashub, this is a good product. Am Yisrael was learning Torah, but they did not have the understanding that the Torah is supposed to bring them to Bahar, to become not chosen, but to become choice. So you had a nation studying Torah and they were still 99 cent goods. They didn't have the Kavanah that the Torah is for. Why? Either because they were learning for Kavod, or they were learning for money, or they were learning for glory, or they were learning for all other reasons, so it never brought them to that refinement. Understand? That was the root of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. It didn't stop with Avodah Zarah, Gilu Arutz. It started when they went to the Shi'ur and they were not learning with the right direction. So Torah, like you said, Beno, was a Chokhmah. Chokhmah Begoyim Ta'amen. But the Jewish people are not supposed to study this as Chokhmah, they're supposed to study this as Torah, and therefore it didn't turn them into a chosen nation, or better to say, a nation of choice.
And that worked with the three cities?
Yeah, because once already you're not choice, so they're like everybody else. That means when you looked at the Goy and you looked at the Jew, the same thing. Wait a minute, how can it be? You're learning Torah. Yeah, but we were not learning Torah with the proper intent with Lashem Shamayim. And when you don't learn this book, Lashem Shamayim, and you don't realize the goal of the book is to make you chosen and a choice nation.
Intellectual access.
But you, I'm learning to learn it. I like the Gemara, I like the back and forth, you know, I like it. Shaklav, Tariyah, Sevarot. I give the rabbi a hard time. There's one guy used to come to sit shul. He used to sit in the shul. No yarmulke on. No yarmulke, he's in the shul, in the shiur. What are you doing? Put your yarmulke on. No, I'm just, I like the... Okay, you like it, but you have to put the yarmulke on. No, I like the, you know, I like the Hiddushim. I like the, I like the logic. You like the logic. So go to Harvard if you like the logic. You have to put on the yarmulke. Yeah, I wouldn't put on the yarmulke. He would come off the street in the morning, sit in the shul for a couple of minutes, just to get a little, you know, Hiddush. Then what did the guy do after the shul? He went to murder somebody after. The next day, you see him in the newspaper. The guy murdered three people and he committed immorality. And then now he lives in Tibet. He's Abu Dazar Abu Dhabi. Why? Because he went to Shi'ud. But the guy's it doesn't talk to him, the Shi'ud, as something to change his. Some people that come to Shi'ud, entertainment. The rabbi's entertaining. It's a long day anyway. So what are you going to do in the morning? I will kill a few hours, go to the Knesset, let the rabbi entertain us for an hour and a half. And then we'll leave. And then when you leave, you take your hat, you put it in the box with all the rabbis Hadushim, leave it in the box, and you leave. Now what? There was one guy stopped coming to Seudah Shlishit. He used to come to Seudah Shlishit every Shabbat in the shul. Every Shabbat, he's there, the first guy. He stopped coming. I tell him, Abi, where are you? He said, I was starting to change. He got scared. He says, it was working. I got nervous. It started to affect me. I started to feel, I was now becoming a little different. No, I can't. Which means you were effective. I'm not scared. All the other guys I went to, they were never effective. This guy I went to, all of a sudden it got into my guts. Now I started to feel a little... One guy calls me after the run of the Shirurim. Rabbi, you spoke about Kashrut. I have a problem. What's the problem? I can't go out to eat anymore. That's a problem? Why is that a problem? It's a problem. You killed me. I killed you? There's a problem. He says, but you believed what I said? 100%. That's why I stopped eating out. But I can't. You're hurting me. So the purpose of Torah is not that you learn and you remain the same guy. The purpose of Torah is to
grow.
But not only grow you intellectually, to grow you into a human being, better person, exactly. So when a goy and a Jew are together, you see the Jew say, wow, what a madriga, this is, where does this come from, this level over here? This comes from only the studying of Torah, only Yahadut. Not only Bahar, but Am Nivhar, a choice nation, choice, that we're the grade A. And grade A can only come from studying Torah. Oh. So bottom line, by the way, it's not Averot that destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That's what I learned from this Gemara. You know what destroys the Beit HaMikdash? That you're not learning Torah the proper way. That's the cause of the destruction. Now, in the first temple, not learning Torah the right way led to the three Averot. In the second temple, it's the same Avon. Not Sinat Hinnam. Sinat Hinnam again is the result. But what was the cause of the Sinat Hinnam? How could it be Jews are learning Torah and they're speaking Lashon Hara about each other? How could it be Jews learning Torah and they have jealousy against each other? How could Jews speak of Torah and they're humiliating each other and they have no respect for each other? And they're not stealing. Sinat Hinnam is not stealing. No, what do you mean? Sinat Hinnam is stealing? No, it's not still. Snap and Am is the attitudes. Lashon Hara, jealousy, behavior towards it. It's the same Avon in the first temple as the second temple. You know what Avon in the second temple was? Same thing. They were learning Torah, but not with the intention to change them. That's a big item. It's the same root. When they went to the doctor in the second temple, the doctor told them it's the same disease. It's the same disease. It's just the first temple, this disease led to three Averot, and the second temple, this disease led to Sinat Hanam. So it's not the Sinat Hanam. Sinat Hanam is a love. But if you're learning Torah and it brings you to this, that means you're not learning. And if you're not learning, that's already a destruction. That's the Avon. The learning was done improperly. And what's the proof that the learning was done improperly? From the result. So there's three over here, there's one over here, but you go trace it back to its origins, it's the same exact item. That's the Sinat Hinam.
Why is it such a longer?
Because we didn't fix it yet. We didn't fix it yet. Today we have the same thing going on today. Today we have people that are learning Torah, but it doesn't influence them in their actions, unfortunately. You can have people studying every single day and they still have Sinat Hinam, they still have it didn't penetrate, it changed the person. So then we should always be proud. Oh, everybody's learning. I'm not interested in everybody's learning. What's okay? Everybody's learning. Everybody was learning always. Always everybody was learning. That doesn't excite me. When you, of course, us, the 30 guys here, we're good. I'm telling you, everybody else besides us in this class. Okay, a couple of guys that's on the outside also. My point is, the musar. Of course, we're getting better. I agree. But the musar of it is, the musar to us is that it's not enough to say I learn. Because that's what the rabbis tell you. You learn every day. You learn. Okay, learning's not enough. Everybody's learning. I'm interested, is the learning making you a better person? But not only applying the mitzvot. Yeah, I learned so I don't eat bugs on strawberries. Okay, very good. But you're an animal still. You're an animal that doesn't eat bugs. It's not enough. Okay, so I only eat halav Yisrael. Good. But your lashon hara and sinat hinam, so it didn't make you a better person, meaning ethically. Then you have a problem. Then you have like a guy came to Rav Shimon Schwab, and he told Rav Shimon Schwab, he said, Rabbi, you should be very proud of me. I did Shas. So the rabbi said, but what did Shas do to you? You're the same hamor that you were 7 years ago. You're the same yo-yo 7 years ago. You did Shas. Shas didn't do anything to you. You're the same imperfect guy. I mean, it has to make an effort, and there's a responsibility on people that study Torah. That when somebody sees a guy who's studying today, they say, this guy's different. He's not a regular run-of-the-mill guy. His behavior is different. His reactions are different. His thinking is different. But if a guy studies Torah and his level is like every other goy in the street, so then already it's a problem. The problem is, it's the root. Al-Uzbam Torati is the first temple. Al-Uzbam Torati is the second temple. It's the same. Well, if that's the case, he says like this. The Yetzer Hara has different names. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara is called the Har. Where do we see the Yetzer Hara is called the Har? A mountain. Gemara Sukkah. The Gemara says that La'atid Lavo, when Mashiach comes, God's going to show the Yetzer Hara to the Tzaddikim, and He's going to show the Yetzer Hara to the Rasha'im. To the Tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara is going to appear like a mountain. To the Tzaddikim. And they're going to say, wow, look at this. We were able to overcome this giant mountain. And to the Rishayim, it's going to come like a little hill. And they're going to kick themselves. They're going to say, we couldn't get this little hill. It's such a small item. The Gemara says, Yetzer Hara domeh lahar. But Yetzer Hara has another name. It's called Sifoni. What is Sifoni? Sifoni, like we say in the Ozreni and Hai. Har hikna me'aleha hivrat kata Sifoni. Kata Sifoni is the Sitra Hara. They call the Yetzirah Kata Sifoni. Some say because he's Safoon, he's hidden inside of us, always trying to.
He's in
inside of us, trying to, you know, persuade us. Safuni, Safoon. Mefarshim explain like this. There's two types of ways of destroying the Yetzirah. One is higher than the other. The sins that I see, those are easy to get rid of. Gidu arayot, avodah, I see them in front of me. That's like a har. The har is in front of me. I see the stumbling block. Therefore, I level the har. But that's not the highest level. Because you could level the har, but the root of the item is still there. What's the root of this? The root of it is all because the Torah is not being studied l'shem shamayim. So therefore, the Yetra is called Sifoni. Sifoni is the explanation that you have to look with inside of you, what brought me to this? Bidiyuk. When the guy tells me, I know my symptoms, what brought it to you? What's inside of your system that's causing it? In order to destroy the heart, you have to go into the Sifoni, into the inside. That's the key of the fighting of the Yetzer. It's a new way of looking at it. People always think we got to go after the Avera. You're right, you have to go after the Avera. But what caused the Avera? You have to go back to your learning. Maybe your learning is not proper. Maybe you're not learning with the proper Kabanot. Because if you were learning with the proper Kabanot, if you said Asher Baharbanu, we call the Amim, if you understand this Torah's purpose is to make us Asher Baharbanu, then maybe you wouldn't have come to this. But maybe, no, you're not learning for that Kabanot whatsoever. And even though you say Berkat the Torah every morning, you don't even know what you're saying. So it's like you didn't say it. No, but you're learning. Why? Because your wife throws you out of bed every morning. I don't know why you're learning. You're embarrassed to tell the rabbi you don't want to show up, so you show up to do the rabbi a favor. Who knows why? I don't know. A million people are learning for different reasons. The ultimate reason why a person has to learn is in order that it should affect him and should influence him. That's the Sifoni. That's the part you don't see. So the guy says, "I'm committing Sirat Hanam. I'm not interested in Sirat Hanam. I am is a love. Don't bother me, Sirat Hanam. What got you to that? How could you learn Shas and you still have Sirat Hanam? How could that be? That means something more systemic is going on over here. Your Torah is wrong. And if the Torah is wrong, then it's the destruction of a nation. It's finished. Sirat Hanam is the symptom of something worse. Sirat Hanam, I would say, is the har. That's what I see. The Sifoni is what I don't see. That's what's inside. That's the root. And therefore, according to this, that's what the Prophet was coming to say. The Prophet Yirmiyah in the first temple. When God comes along and tells him, Ma ata ro'eh, what do you see? Va'omar sir nafuach ani ro'eh ufanav mepenei safona. He tells him, God tells him, you know what the issue over here is? The issue over here is not what you see. It's what's inside. The Safona. What Averot that you're seeing over here is not the item. God's hinting them Safona. Ma'ataro'e doesn't mean what do you see with your eyes only. It means what do you perceive? You're right, Yirmiyah, you see the three Averot in front of you. That we know. But what do you see? What's inside of it? So Yirmiyah says, Sir nafo ani ro'e upanav bepene safona. I see that this is bepene safona. That all this I see is because of something that is safona. That's the depth. So basically, if you ask me, then comes out the first and second Beit HaMikdash was for the same reasons. We're not changing the reasons. There's no reason to change the reasons. Oh, that's the case, Abotai. Now we go to the next level. So that's the opening understanding of this. That's the opening understanding.
What was the almond stick?
Oh, we get to the almond stick now. Now we get to the almond stick. How's that about it? But he also tells him, Makil Shakil. There's a big dilemma. We talked about this 3 weeks ago with the Dirash. Why did he show him an almond stick? So that she right away jumps, and he says, because an almond blossoms in 21 days. It takes 21 days for an almond to blossom. It's very quick. From the time that it blossoms to the time that it produces a fruit is 21 days. Very quick. So God says, it's going to happen very quick. From the time of Shiva Saba Tammuz until the destruction, 21 days, like an almond stick. So he was hinting him by the almond to show him the time. The time is going to be a 21 day item, which is very quick. You know, for a destruction to happen, sometimes it takes years for this took 3 weeks. Once the Romans got to the wall, they could have been there for 6 years at the wall. Once they got to the wall, it was a matter of a couple of days, 3 weeks later, gone. So God warned Yirmiyah, it's going to happen like Makel Shaked, 21 days. So if you remember in the Shi'ur, 3 weeks, which was a Hadush Shi'ur, if you remember.
22.
See, all you guys are remembering now is where the Shi'ur was. Oh, that was in the basement. No, that was in the... I don't care where it was. The Shi'ur is the Hadush. The Shi'ur is the Hadush. Who cares where it was? They think, oh, that was the basement one. That was the... We went to Shamayim. That one, the roof. That one. Who cares where it was? The Torah was given at Har Sinai in the desert. Well, you think what the Torah was given in... You think the Torah was given in a luxury place looking at the ocean? Torah was given in the worst conditions, in the Midbar. Mafi AC, mafi nothing. Dirt all over the place in the mountain. We stood there. Anybody say, hey, I want to move upstairs. I want to go downstairs. Har Sinai, we got the Torah. I want to go over there. I want to go sit over there. Who cares? You're getting the Torah. You're getting the Torah. What do I care where they're giving out the Torah? Why do I care? If somebody told me, I'm giving out $10,000 bills. There's a new bill they made, a $10,000 bill. Who's giving them out? There's a rich guy. All you got to do is stand online. And as long as you stand online and you don't move, he just keeps on giving you $10,000 bills. Beautiful. Where is it? In Staten Island in the garbage dump.
In the landfill.
I go. I'm the first guy. I go. My wife says, you're going to go in the garbage dump? It smells. Let it smell. What do I get? It smells. I stand there. Nobody shows up because they say, I'm going to go to the garbage dump. I'm not going to the garbage. I'm a hashuv guy. I don't go to the garbage dump. The garbage man comes to me. I don't go to the garbage man. I'm the only guy there. The guy's giving me $10,000 bills. I walk away. And I'm the rich guy for the rest of my life. The guy says, no. The Torah has to be given in this place. The Torah is given anywhere. What do I care what Torah is given? Torah is given anywhere. Now watch. 21 days we asked. We did the bath. It's 22 days. It's not 21 days, it's 22 days. Do the math, it's very simple. Count from Shiva Asar Tammuz to Tisha B'Av, including those 2 days. You have to include those 2 days, those are the main days. It's 22 days. So everybody asks the same question. 21, 22, how are you going to answer? So everybody answers the same answer, more or less. We don't count Tisha B'Av. You don't count Tisha B'Av. That's the main day. What do you mean? No, because it says Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. So therefore, from Tisha B'Av already begins the hope. In Mincha Tisha B'Av we say Nachem. So already on Tisha B'Av is already Nachem. So you don't count Tisha B'Av. So it's 21, and then Tisha B'Av is a 20. So that day doesn't count. Okay, it's a nice answer, but it's still a dohak. I mean, today Tisha B'Av is a bad day. It's a sad day, and that shouldn't be part of the. You're right, but right now, by the way, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz Latid Lavo is going to be a good day. And we still count it. But for whatever reason, the Tisha B'Av, they say, do not count. What's the depth of this inyan? What's the secret of this Makel Shaked, the 21 days? So I said the following. whenever you see a situation in history, you always have to try to find that situation in Ma'aseh Avot. Once you could find this story in its root, then you could understand what happened in the history. All of Jewish history does not begin with the Jews. It begins with their fathers. We're only reading the Banim. I want to know Ma'aseh Avot. Jewish history is like DNA. The DNA is the Avot. And from the DNA comes the history. So anytime you want to study Jewish history correctly, you never study the story of the history. You always have to go back and try to trace it and see, when did this happen in its roots? And then you can know the story. And we always do this in the Shi'urim. Oh, you want to study Parashat this? Go to Noah. Noah, we're learning Parashat Ki Tetzeh. Ki Tetzeh is a Noah. Oh, you want to understand the Parashat of Yitro? You have to go to Parashat Va'era. Yeah, it's always like that. Anytime you study Aleph or Bet, you have to go back to Aleph. Ma'aseh Avot? So I asked a simple question. Where is the Ma'aseh Avot Siman Nebanim of the Churban? If I want to find the Churban, this story... by the way, what was it talking about?
Which was? It's hot.
Some story with the wells. Abotai, the story is like this. You have to find the story of Sinat Hinnam. Where do you find Sinat Hinnam in the Torah? Hazak Baruch. So now we're getting warm.
The brothers.
Now we're getting warm. All of a sudden you see brothers, and the brothers come along and they take Yosef and they throw him into a pit. That's the well you were talking about. And then they pull him out of the well, and all of a sudden they sell him. And all of a sudden you start to see the first roots of Sinat Hinnam.
Was that jealousy?
What do you think Sinat Hinnam is? Sinat Hinnam means baseless hatred. Hatred is from jealousy, envy, all those other things. Now watch. I'm going to say Bechadushim now. Study that story good. And you see that Yosef goes down to Egypt. And Yosef is there now, and Am Yosef is in Galut. You see Yaakov Avinu is crying. Yaakov Avinu cannot stop crying like Chabad. He's crying terrible, terrible, terrible. He cannot get over this over here. He cannot get over this trouble. The family of Yaakov is in destruction. It's in ruins. It's in shambles, the family of Yaakov Abinu. All of a sudden what happens? The brothers now start to come down to Egypt. Finally, eventually,
Yosef.
The brothers are all down, because he said, bring Binyamin. And now Binyamin's there, and Yosef starts to give them a hard time. Yosef comes along and says, hey, what is this, Binyamin? Leave Binyamin over here. Everybody go home, leave Binyamin. And Yehuda was on the line. Yehuda says, what do you mean, leave Binyamin? I guarantee this boy's life. Not only I guarantee his life, I gave my Olam Abba for this boy. So what does the Pasuk say? Vayigash elav Yehuda. And all of a sudden, the famous confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. And the Midrash writes on this, when the brothers saw Yehuda with Yosef having a confrontation, Hayusmehim. They were happy. Happy. Yehuda was going to kill him, Yosef was going to kill him. This was the biggest boxing match in the history of the Torah. And it says, Hayusmehim. Hayusmehim. And they said, we don't care who wins. If Yosef wins, Niha. If Yehuda wins, Niha. We're happy. Who are happy? Somebody's going to kill each other. Abotai, pay attention. There's big yesodot over here. There's big yesodot. Go back to the Torah and you'll see secrets here now. When Yosef HaTzadik was born, anybody remember when Yosef was born? When Yosef is born, look at the Pasuk writes over here. Yosef is born, Look at this over here, Rabotai. Vatar vatelet ben. What is this? Vatomer asaf v'dimit harpati. Vatiklat shemon Yosef. Vayika asher yadar achalet Yosef. Vayomer Yaakov ben Laban. Shalecheni ve'elechal emekomi. That's it, I'm going home. What happened after Yosef? I said, I'm going home, I'm kishing, I'm going home. What happened? He had 10 children, 10, he doesn't want to leave. He has Yosef, he says, that's it, I have Yosef, I'm ready, I go home. Why you can go home? What happened when Yosef was born? Rashi writes, Mishelonad sitno shel Esav. Yosef is called the Sitno shel Esav. He is the nemesis, the enemy. He's the destroyer of Esav. Nobody can come after Esav except Yosef. The other brothers, they can't get Esav. Once Yosef is born, Yaakov says, I'm scared of Esav all these years. I can't go back to Esav. Once Yosef is born, he's the kryptonite. Finished. Like, now I can go home to... I'm not worried about Esav anymore because I have Yosef. Why? He says, Shneimar, Vaya bet Yaakov esh, ubet Yosef lehaba, ubet Esav lekash. Esav is compared to straw. Yosef is compared to fire. Once already I have the fire of Yosef, it can burn the kash of Esav. Mishenolad Yosef batach Yaakov b'kadosh baruch hu v'ratza lashuv. He said, that's it. I'm not worried about Esav anymore. So you see a big yesod here. Out of all the tribes, which tribe is able to squash Esav? Yosef. Yosef is the key. Without Yosef, you have a problem. You need Yosef in the group. You need Yosef in the group. I'm going to tell you something deeper, Rabotai. You need all the tribes in the group, but you need Yosef there especially. What's the proof? Rabotai, you remember when Binyamin was born? I'm telling you now from the Zohar Kadosh. Today is the Yortzeit of Rabbeinu Ari. This is what I'm saying, Chbodo Shel Rabbeinu Ari. When is Binyamin born? Anybody know when Binyamin was born? Okay. That means nobody knows. Anyway, the Pasuk says over here in Parashat Vayishlach, Vayi betzet nafsha ki meta v'tekla shemo ben oni v'aviv kara lo Binyamin. Binyamin is born. Now, always notice, after the tribes are born, stuff happens. After Yosef is born, what does Yaakov say? Let's go home. Now Binyamin is born. What happens now? Okay, Matamot Rachel, Hazita. Hazit, you, not Hazita. She's fine.
You're right.
No, thank you very much. So now the Pasuk says, Vayu b'nei Yaakov shenem asar. B'nei Yaakov now is 12. We're good, we're clear, we're done. Next Pasuk. Ve'ele toledot Esav. All of a sudden, toledot Esav comes into the picture. We never heard of toledot Esav before. Binyamin is born. The Torah says 12. Now let's discuss Esav. And the Torah tells us, who is Esav's kids? Et Ada batalo. These are his wives. It tells us, vateled Ada Esav Edifaz. Reuel, Yeush, Ya'lam, Korah. Ele toledot Esav, ve'ele shemot b'nei Esav. Edifaz ben Ada, this guy, that guy. Teman, Omar, Sefo, Gatam, Kenaz, Amalek. And the Torah comes along and says, how many families came from Esav? The families of Esav? 11. 11 families. If you count all the names over here, it's 11 families. Abotai. Comes the Zohar HaKadosh. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that as long as Klal Yisrael had 11 tribes, it's 11 against 11. Once Binyamin was born, now the Torah says, now list Esau, list them. Now list them. Now it's 12-11. 12-11 is no shot. You understand what the Zohar is understanding, why he put it in that spot? It has to put it over there because it's giving us the war. The war is 12 against 11. Now watch this. We're always trying to break the 11 of Esav. There's many ways we do that. One way we do that is the 12 tribes. But if the 12 tribes are not Be'ahdut, then Esav has a... And not only Be'ahdut, who's the key of the 12? Yosef. You have the 12, but Yosef has to be the main one because Yosef is the one that destroys Esav. If Yosef is not part of the 12, then for sure it's not going
to
work.
They tried to kill him.
Go slow. Everything's good. Bnei Yaakov is 12. Esav is 11. It's game over. It's game over. Says the Ben Wa'ari. That's why every day we say the Ketoret. How many spices are in the Ketoret?
No.
In order to machnia the 11 kelipot of Esav. Every time you say Hasuri, Basipora, you're destroying them. On the Mishkan, how many skins were on the Mishkan? 11, 6 and 5. The number 11 is very significant. You're always going to find the 11 in order to machnia the kelipa of Esav. But in the Shivatim, it's the 12. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that each one of the Shivatim is connected one of the names Yudke Vavke. You know that?
No.
There's 12 ways to write Yudke Vavke. There's three letters. Yudke Vav. The hair is double.
Three times four is 12.
So it's a factor of 12. You understand what I just said? I can write it Yud Ke Vav Ke. I can write it Yud Vav He He.
Yeah.
I can write it Yud He Vav. There's 12 ways to write the Yud Ke Vav Ke, and each Shevet has a different Shev. So that's 12 times 26. How much is 12 times 26?
286.
How about 312?
312.
Good.
I skipped 126.
Okay, that's a big one. It's good you're not my accountant.
Where's David Meyer?
Anyway, 26 times 12 is 312. Shin Yud Bet. The Mekubalim write, what is a Shin Yud Bet? 312. Shin Yud Bet. Shin Yud Bet is Hashem Tevor. Yud Bet Shevatim. It's hinting to us that the Yud Bet Shevatim equals Shin Yud Bet because of the Shemot that are connected to them. Correct? When you have those Shemot of the Shevatim all connected, Esav does not have a chance. That's why if you go look at the next parasha, after the 12 tribes were all good, Yeshev Yaakov Be'eres Me'ugure Aviv, the pasuk says, that's it, now Yaakov is going to relax. He can relax now. Because it's 12 against the, he's waiting for his day. He caught up and he went against. 12-11, all the Shivatim are b'shalva. Everybody's with peace with each other. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eres megure aviv. The Mekubalim write, why? What's the root of Vayeshev? Yashav. How much is Yashav? Shin Yud Bet. At this point over here, after the Shivatim are born, and after Esav now is 11. Now the pasuk says, "Vayeshev." Got the 312. All the Shivatim. Now he's going to relax. What happened? Sinat Hinnam. Everything was good. Now Esav can't touch him. Esav wasn't able to touch him. All of a sudden, Sinat Hinnam rears his ugly head, and now all of a sudden, Yaakov's life is turned into a upside down again. Then says, so what was happening? And the whole family falls apart. Once already Yosef is not there, it's over. Now Esav is able to attack. Now Esav is, it wakes up. He goes down to Egypt. This is the roots of Tisha B'Av right over here. The roots of Tisha B'Av are in this story, Rabotai. Who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash? The Romans. Who's the Romans?
Esav.
Once already the Sinat Hinnam, the tribes are not together. Once the tribes are not together, it's not 12 anymore. Once you don't have 12, V'alu Moshi'im Ba'an Tzion L'shpot Dar Esav, you don't have anymore. Now already Esav is able to attack. And that's what happened. The Sinat Hinnam over here was disaster. And the proof of the pudding is, Yaakov's family was perfect until that point. He took all these years to have the Shivatim, all these years to prepare. And finally it says, Vayeshev. Vayeshev means there was a yeshuv, the temple was finally built. Vayeshev. And all of a sudden what happened? The tribes fell apart. They sold their brother. Now all of a sudden, Sinat Hinnam. And what's going to happen to the Vayeshev of Yaakov? What's going to happen to the Vayeshev? It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be destroyed. And that's what it was. And all of a sudden he's crying and there's Avilut. And he can't even have Shekhinah. Shekhinah left him. Just like the Jewish people, the Shekhinah left him in the Beit HaMikdash. It was a dark period. And where is he doing Yaakov Avinu? He's wearing sackcloth, like Tisha B'Av. He's mourning. This is the story of Tisha B'Av right in this episode of Era Botai. Now what happens? All of a sudden they have to make the tikkun already. They have to make the tikkun. The brothers come down to Egypt. Binyamin's not there. There cannot be a tikkun. Unless you have all 12 together, you cannot have a tikkun. So Yosef says, you got to bring Binyamin down. In order to have the 12 against 11, in order to fix this item, you must be. And they're telling him, we cannot bring Binyamin. It'll kill the old man. Then you cannot do it. That's why Yosef.
Yosef knew it.
No, only you knew it. Which means Yosef is now has to bring the brothers together. And the brothers all of a sudden say, okay, we have no choice. And they bring Binyamin down to Egypt. And now all of a sudden the 12 brothers are there. Once the 12 brothers are there, all the Shemot are there. Now at Shin Yun Bet, for the first time, the brothers are all together again. And now already everything is going to be settled. What happens once everything is settled? The Mashiach comes, finished. Once everything is settled, the Shalom. Va'alu Moshi'im Bar Tzion. We have two Mashiachim. Who's the two Messiahs? Mashiach Ben David and Mashiach Ben Yosef. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. All of a sudden Yehuda and Yosef meet. That's the Mashiachim. Once already they were all in Egypt together, the 12. Now already they understood we have to create the Ba'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim of Mashiach now. So which two tribes are going to be involved? The two tribes of Mashiach. Yehuda and Yosef. And what did it say when the tribes saw it? Vayu Simehim. He said, Baruch Hashem, beautiful, Vayu Simehim. This is it. We're waiting for this. This wasn't a confrontational one. This was according to the holy level. This was the meetings of the Mashiachim. And only could happen at this point. After the Shivatim are united, now you can have this moment over here. Also, comes out according to this, tremendous, tremendous Hadushim. Now I read to you the Zohar HaKadosh. I read you what the Zohar HaKadosh says. An incredible Zohar Hadash in Parashat Vayeshev. Bo'ureh, tachazeh, nachihu, detnan, v'shavasar v'tamuz, mutala tamid, u'b'nish'a be'av, harebet b'kdesha. The Tamid was stopped on Tisha B'Av Tammuz. The temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Continue. Oh, v'duk v'tishkach. Go look. Make a study. Midbutal Tamid, da'avah mechaper al chobehon. From the time that the Tamid was stopped, which is Tisha B'Av Tammuz, ad itcharev b'mikdesha, until the temple was destroyed. Ben Bismanak Kadma'a, from the first Beit HaMikdash, ben bizmanat tanina, and the second Beit HaMikdash, 22 days, the Zohar says. לקבל אינון 20 וטרן שנין דלא חמה ההוא צדיק הפה יקרה דאבו. Against the 22 years that Yosef did not see his father. So now you're seeing over a tremendous chidush. The 22 days of Ben HaMitzarim is connected to the 22 years that Yosef and the brothers were estranged from each other. And now I understand why. Because it's Maaseh Avot. Just like once Yosef became estranged from his father, the brothers were fighting, the family fell apart. So now that would happen in history. Am Yisrael was all united. All of a sudden there was Sinat Chinam. Once Yosef is out of the picture and there's fighting amongst the brothers, the Shemot are not connected. There's no Bayeshev. And all of a sudden you have a destruction. And the Zohar says, the 22 years... The 22 years would become the 22 days. But now listen to the secret. What happens in year 22? In year 22, that's when Yosef and Yehuda meet. Correct? That's connected which day? Tisha B'Av. That's why Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. That moment is the birth of Mashiach, right there. Vayigash elav Yehuda. That moment that Yehuda and Yosef are meeting, that already is, that's the birth of Mashiach right there. Therefore, it's possible that the 21 days, it's 21 days. You know why you don't count Tisha B'Av? Because once already Tisha B'Av came already, it was over. On the day of Tisha B'Av, it was finished. That's the 22nd year. That's the time already where all the tribes were together. That's the day of Vayigash Elav Yehuda into Yosef and the two Mashiachim. So therefore, you can't count it. So that's why God says, Makel Shaked, Rashi says, it's 21. I'm Tisha B'Av. You can't count Tisha B'Av as part of the bad days. Because according to the Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, if you're going to go according to the system, on the contrary, year 22 becomes the year of redemption.
Good day.
That becomes a great day. That's the day already where all the tribes were united and they became one again. So now we understand the two prophecies that the Yirmiyah received. Yirmiyah receives the second prophecy, Safona, that the key over here is not what you see. The Avon that you see is Sinat Hinnam, Safona. It's not the har, it's what's underneath the har. Go back and tell them that they're not studying Torah with the right intentions. They're studying Torah with the wrong kavanot, and therefore since they're not studying it to become a chosen nation or a choice people, it's not having the effect that it's supposed to have. You're right, Sinat Hinnam is a lav. It's a lav. But how did this lav happen? How could Sinat Hinnam happen if people are learning? And the second thing he says, Makel Shaked. Go tell them that it's a 21 day event. Keneged 22 years. But if it's 21 day event against 22, it should be a 22 day event. How come the Ben HaMitzarim, they only call it 21? We don't count it. Because now we know the secret of where this story begins. The story must begin with Yosef and the brothers. And only when Yosef and the brothers are united, but Yosef must be part of it. But if he's not part of it, then you don't have the fire of Yosef to eat the straw of Esav. Once the brothers all fixed it and came down to Egypt united, it's over. Then already the pasuk is fulfilled. Va'alu moshi'im ba'ar siyon nishpot et ar Esav. Then va'yeta ladonai menucha. But until that point, so that's why Sinat Hinnam is very integral then. To answer my original question, I said, what's Sinat Hinnam? It's just it's a lav. It's not a lav. It's a serious item. Because if the tribes are not together, you need to go against the 11. There's a baseball team over here. They have 11. 11 against 11, they win. The only way we win is 12-11. That's the way it works. That's what the Torah says. Once Binyamin was born, now tell me who Esav. Read me. Now read me the lineup of Esav. I don't care what the lineup is. Tell me Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio, Hank Aaron, Mickey Mantle, who cares? You have 12 against 11. You can give me the death row, murderous row. Doesn't matter who's on that team. We have the 12. But once you don't have the 12 of Bnei Yaakov, you cannot beat them. 11-11, they win. So therefore, I go back to my religion. Satanam is different. It's only a lav maybe in the Torah. But if this item over here gives Esav the ability to overcome. And that's why Rabbi Akiva... Rabbi Akiva says, he knew you were going to say, it's only a mitzvah taseh. It's a big idol. Although, if you look at it from the mitzvah standpoint, it's mitzvah taseh, there's no malkut. Rabbi Akiva had to come out of his way and say, zeh klal gadol. But the way we explained it, there's two ways. He didn't say zeh klal gadol. What did he say? Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. What he meant to say is, you know why there's a problem of Avta Kamocha? Zeh klal gadol, the root of it is b'Torah. Your learning is not good. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. When you see problems with Avta Kamocha, I want to know what the klal is. I don't know what the Avta Kamocha is, the prat. Avta Kamocha is the detail. I want to know what the klal is, what the system is, what the root is. Rabbi Akiva says, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Go check his Torah. His Torah is not... But there's another interpretation which he said. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Go back to the Torah. And we have a rule in the Torah. What's the rule in the Torah? The Gemara says, Simuchim la'ad le'olam. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva is Doresh Simuchim. What does Simuchim mean? You're allowed to be Doresh. Why is one parasha written next to another parasha? Which is, in the New York Times, you can't ask that question. You can't ask, how come they wrote an article about the Toyota, and underneath it they wrote about the farmer in Idaho, the tomatoes, the potatoes. He said, what do you mean? Why did they put this next to this? Is there a reason? There has to be a reason. There's Kavanah. You call up the editor of the New York Times. Listen, I know everything you do is with Kavanah. Why did you put the article about the potatoes next to the article about Toyota? What's the subliminal message there? There's no message. It fits. It just fits. The article was this big. The other article was this big. It's like a puzzle.
Logistics.
It's a puzzle. We just put articles where we have no Kavanah why one article is next to another article. Only one time, yes. In the community magazine, next to my article that I write every month, you see Mattresses for Less right in the middle of it. That's the Kavanah. That's the Kavanah. No, because...
Have fun with them, Rabbi.
No, what's the Kavanah? Because then the people say, we didn't know that's the rabbi's wife. Now we have to buy beds from him. We didn't know that's the rabbi's wife. We thought the guy saw the man. Who saw the man? We don't know who she is. There's a connection between the guy who writes his article and the bed. Hazid the rabbi, it is the business. Rabbi, we'll buy a few beds from you. So that is true. If you call Community Magazine, you ask them, is there a Kavanah why marriage is always in the rabbi? Yes. Simuchim la'ad le'olam, asuim be'emet v'yashar. Bedut shalach la'amo. What comes out of the marriage? No refunds, that's what comes out of the marriage. No refunds, Emil, no, please. One guy said he came to the house. He didn't know that. Rabbi, this is you? Yeah, this is me. What do I do now? I don't believe it. He says, you and your wife have competing businesses. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you're trying to get me up every morning and she's putting me to sleep. He says, you have competition over here. Anyway, the explanation is like this. So Rabbi Akiva is Doresh Simuchim. Rabbi Akiva is Doresh Simuchim. He says, in the Torah, you're always able to ask that question. Why is this Pasuk? Not only what does the Pasuk mean, I want to understand why is it next to its neighbors? Why did you put this Pasuk next to this one, and why is it next to that one? And you have to start saying, it's connected to this one before, and it's connected to... That means everything in the Torah is written for a purpose, and where it's written is for a purpose. The Torah didn't just say, okay, we have two spaces there, Ella, throw it in. No, it's put there with Kabbalah, that's the law of Simuchim. And who taught us the law of Simuchim? Rabbi Akiva teaches us the law of Simuchim. Rabbi Akiva does Simuchim. Ah, so now what happens? Avtal l'racha kamocha. Avtal l'racha kamocha. You have to have Ahava, you have to have Ahava, you have to love. Rabbi Akiva says, what's the key? Why? What's the key of it? He said, I told you already, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. What's the klal gadol in the Torah? Simuchim. And what's the simuchim? When the 12 sons of Yaakov were born, what's written right after that? Ele toledot Esav. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. Go back to the klal. Once you see the Torah putting the 12 next to the 11, then you know that it must remain 12. That's klal gadol b'Torah. Avtalak kamocha is key because you're trying to keep the 12 as one unit. That's the, so we explain that two ways of klal gadol b'Torah. First explanation is ve'avtalak kamocha. But what's the root? It's klal gadol b'Torah. It starts from the Torah because you're not learning. You're learning it as a chokhmah. You're not learning it as a life changer. Second interpretation. You know why ve'avtalak kamocha is so important? Because of the klal gadol. Which klal gadol? The klal gadol of simuchim. That if you don't have avdak hamocha, then you don't have 12. And anything less than 12, already Esav has a shelita. And then we should be zocher. And the two prophecies of Makel Shaked and the prophecy of Safona, there should be a new prophecy in our times that's going to say, Ba'alu Moshi'im Bar Siyon, Spot the Tar Esav, Ba'yetal Adonai Menucha, Ba'yal Wa'ed Melech HaKol HaAretz, Ba'yom Ha'o Ye'al Adonai Yechadosh Mo'echad.